Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place. A little late, perhaps, but whatever show this is, the Rancor Pit is now back.
You've got so many podcasts
I
going on. You're
know
like,
it. Like,
you're just like fumbling about to figure out which one you're on now. It's like
Stuart Balk's right. Like, how many podcasts you got, Mom?
you're like Stuart Denny, the all con drunk, where you're just stumbling from room to
That's
room,
right.
not quite sure what panel you're walking in on. You're just coming in to cause a ruckus.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just here to do whatever it is I'm doing. And tonight, what we're going to do, we set out to do two things tonight. That was chew bubble gum and talk about Mark Hamill. And I realized I didn't have any gum. I tried the Chiclets machine at the restaurant down the street, but it was empty.
I had a packet of Big League Chew myself, but
Wow.
I opened it up and realized immediately it was the Big League Chew I had in high
Oh,
school.
they
So yeah,
make them
it
still
was
make
needless to
them.
say, it was no longer soft and it was no longer pink.
Ooh, yeah.
So we're
Wow,
all
is
out of
that the
bubble
grape
gum.
flavor? No, it's just very old.
Yeah. So yeah, we're all out of bubble gum.
So yeah, so I guess all we have left is to talk about Mark Hamill, which is probably best if we don't talk about him while chewing bubble gum, because then we'll be like, well, you know, Mark Hamill.
I'm kind of disappointed we don't have any gum, and so I want to say, I want to go to Tosche Station to pick up some bubble gum.
You can chew gum with your friends when your chores are done.
No, Uncle Owen. I don't want to collect any more moisture. Oh,
How do you farm moisture? I was always kind of curious about that.
I don't know. It's like bottling dehydrated water, I guess, suppose. You just add water
Oh, okay, yeah.
and
So,
poof, there you
yeah.
go.
It's like, I'm not even sure what planet this is. Well, I assure you, it's nothing like Dune. Where this is in no way ripping off Frank Herbert. Sandworms, hate them. Anyway,
That was Tremors.
oh, that's right.
Also
Graboids, you hate them.
a lot of sand.
Yeah, lots of sand there. Also in the oh, what is it? Sigourney Weaver movie Holes, I believe. And
Oh,
I've
yeah.
never seen it, but I saw a poster once. It looked like there
Back
was some
when
sand.
Shia LaBeouf was actually an actor and not a con
Not
and not a constant no.
an embarrassment.
Or swing with digital monkeys.
You're just not gonna ever give up or forgive the digital monkey, are you?
I don't. I mean,
Was it you or somebody else that just
I don't know
really?
about that because I love Crystal Skull. I make
There was
no.
somebody that just was hating on the not top monkey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I know what they're talking about. But no, I love Crystal
I
Skull.
can't remember who that was, and the thing about it was, about a year later, I was at a zoo and actually found there, I forget the species, but there actually is a monkey with a little knot top like that.
Oh, yeah.
But the downside is they're not indigenous to South America. So I
Well,
was so happy, like, damn
neither
it!
is
Oh, it's
Shia
so true. And
LaBeouf. Yeah,
thankfully now he's not even in.
he's not indigenous to this planet, I
Yeah,
suppose.
and he's not even indigenous to movies anymore, thankfully. But you know who is?
Who's that?
Is thankfully is our topic today, none other than Mark Hamill, than
Yes.
movies' Luke Skywalker.
Yes, sir. And Mark Hamill, from early on, has always been one of my favorite actors. I mean, we've discussed before, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. You had Harrison Ford as Han Solo. And as a kid, I desperately wanted to be Han Solo because he was the cool guy.
Yeah, I think everybody, Han Solo was the character you wanted to be,
He
yet
carried the
Luke
cool gun.
Skywalker was the one you could associate most with. Because
Exactly.
he
That's
was
what it
like
is.
you.
That's
Hated
exactly
doing his chores. Was an orphan. If
it.
you were an orphan yourself.
He's like the Peter Parker of Star Wars, which
Yeah.
is.
Except if he, yeah, or I guess like the movie Peter Parker or something like that. Maybe if you found out dad was still alive later.
Oh, well,
So,
and
Yeah, it's sort of unfortunate, orphan type of thing, because then he has to give back his orphan card.
Yeah, and oddly enough, both Star Wars and Spider-Man involve clones. Yeah.
Don't do
Yeah.
that. And you know
But,
what?
what's that?
E to the equal detriment of both.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, that.
On behalf of Star Wars fans and Spider-Man fans everywhere, we thank
Yeah,
you for
I
that.
universally denounce the clone.
But Han Solo and Luke Skywalker are very much like Batman and Spider-Man because Batman is the cool character y'all everyone wants to be. But me personally, I've always Spider-Man was always my favorite of the two because I always felt more of a connection to him. And not that I have an Aunt May or anything, but you know that's beside the point anyway. But I
But
do
you
have a thing.
may have an aunt.
I know I do have a thing for gingers though. But and that's
Well,
only
who
and
doesn't,
not
really?
to get myself in trouble, but Colleen was pretty much a redhead in high school. That's where that stems from. So
So because of
anyway.
Colleen, you like Spider-Man? Is that what? Okay,
Yes,
but
never we're way off topic.
yeah, let's get back to the non-ginger, none other than the Mark Hamill. So, you know, you've got this.
Did
I
you say
see
the Mark
the
Hamill?
Mark Hamill,
It's
yes,
like the Star
the Star
Wars.
Wars. This is going to be the night where we talk about the things that we're going to talk about and get off topic repeatedly. So,
Good.
one of the things that did occur to me when we were preparing for the show is I remember reading or hearing about when Mark Hamill first goes in or went in, have had, will have had done what he did. When he first goes to audition,
Yeah.
he reportedly says that he was, you know, kind of looking at the script and everything and made this connection, Luke Lucas, and decided that he was going to try to really play toward gut feelings about George Lucas himself.
Oh, okay.
And that
Yeah.
may well be how he landed the role.
So he showed up with a fake goiter and beard?
I think he just sort of inflated his throat like a frog.
Like a toad or something, like a frog.
I want to go to Tosche Station.
I guess Lucas didn't really have the goiter back then, so that joke doesn't make any sense now that I think about it. So he went in there trying to play it up, trying to play to Lucas's sensibilities, I suppose.
Pretty much, pretty
Yeah.
much.
Well, you know why he went in first place. I had heard the story that he was really good friends with Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger,
Yeah.
and Robert Englund was just kind of hanging around where the auditions were taking place, and he just was not there to audition, which was just killing time and watching.
Huh.
And he thought to himself that the role of Luke Skywalker would be perfect for Mark Hamill, so he went back and told Mark Hamill, he said, "Hey, you need to try out for this part."
Huh, I didn't,
And
yeah. I mean, I'd
that's what.
heard that they were friends, but I had not heard that he would sort of encouraged him with it.
Yeah, and that's what prompted him to seek out the audition to begin with.
Interesting.
That's just what I've heard. How
Yeah.
much truth there is to that? And
That's
we
what
don't
they want you
research,
to
so.
think. Yeah, we didn't actually
Yeah.
bother to check this stuff up. Especially because there's a lot of stuff you heard, you know, pre-internet back in the day,
Yeah.
and, you know, how much of that gets translated into the, you know, everybody assumes that, oh, you know, just look it up on the internet. But the thing about it is, there's nothing on the internet but that somebody put it there. And
Well, don't you know the rule? With the exception of April Fool's Day, the internet is always correct.
oh, that's true.
Yeah. That's the only time you have to be weary of what you read on the internet.
So true.
Yeah.
So what you run into then, of course, is that the, you know, verification of all this stuff's going to be almost impossible, or maybe it's possible. We just haven't bothered to check. But we're just here to talk about our impressions of Mark Hamill. This is going to be a very personal journey, not a Wikipedia recitation or anything, or an IMDb recitation, because
Yeah.
all that information is out there. If you're curious about every movie he's ever been in, plenty of resources.
Yeah.
But, you know, for you and I think our first encounter of Mark Hamill, as far as we knew, was Star Wars. There's every chance that I probably heard his voice on a Scooby-Doo, apparently, which I had no idea he was. It's old man Hamill!
I don't know if his voice was mature enough at the time to pull off old man Hamill.
I'd have got away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids!
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't.
Old man Hamill sure is a whiny.
Yeah, he's a whiny old guy.
We're wrong with him, Raggy. Yeah. He's whiny. Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, definitely my first exposure to Mark Hamill was Star Wars. And like I said earlier, I as an actor, I just thought he was phenomenal. I just, you know, he was Luke Skywalker in my young mind. And
despite Luke's whininess, which, you know, he nailed, you also get that, like I said earlier, is a very approachable character because you feel a kind of connection with the, you know, anxious youth and being stuck in a situation. Because at that time, you know, we'd been living in Dallas up to the 70s and moved out to this, what at the time was a very rural little town of Red Oak. Nowadays I go out there and there's traffic lights and hot and cold running water and indoor plumbing. And no, but seriously, there are like traffic lights where there used to be stop signs. There are proper grocery store and, you know.
Where before there was just like a vegetable cart or something?
Pretty much. Well, literally, there's like 40 restaurants where there used to be three and things like that. Yeah. So back then it was a bit like, you know, it was a bit hayseed for my tastes.
I'm picturing like the little town in a Paper Moon. You know, were you neighbors with Tatum O'Neill?
Ryan O'Neill, though, would tend to drive through from time to time, posing as Moses Prey, trying to...
sell
Bibles
people.
Yeah. The obituary columns were constantly full in that town, so he made some good money. But seriously,
gosh.
That's back, because also Red Oak was in black and white, and the rest of the world was in color. It was like...
it was like Kansas and Oz.
Exactly. It certainly was. So that's the... Ultimately, what you... But, you know, back then I felt this sort of connection with being kind of like wishing you were somewhere else or never your mind on where you were, what you were doing. So...
Nice reference you'd made.
Yes, indeed. So, Luke, like I said, was a very approachable character, and Mark Hamill, I think his performance makes him approachable in A New Hope, or in, as we called it then, Star Wars, where Han was more aloof. You know, he was cooler.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're more likely to, for Luke to invite you to sit down at his table than Han.
Yeah.
Because Han was more like, you know, Han was sitting over at the table with James Bond, you know.
Yeah, he was at the cool kids' table.
Yeah, exactly, and you got to go sit with Luke and listen to him whine about the mashed potatoes.
With all the bookworms and the non-athletes, right.
The guys from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, he was very approachable and likable, and a lot of that, I'm sure, came from Mark Hamill delivering a phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned before that my favorite scene in New Hope, one of my favorite scenes in New Hope, is the time where he steps out and he has that quiet moment alone and he's looking at the twin suns at sunset. And, you know, he's just reflecting on things and you could tell that he's really got a lot weighing on him.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that a lot of that was so effective because of Mark Hamill played it so simple and so, you know, just it was very just.
Yeah, because you have the music there to give you the tone, but you know, it wasn't like he was just like, "Ooh, what you doing?" You know, like it's not like Daniel Craig or something, or Catherine says he always looks like. If you watch Daniel Craig in anything, it looks like he's just walked out his front door and doesn't know where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which whether will now it's ruin your enjoyment of any Daniel Craig film because suddenly you'll be like, "Oh my God, you're right." He's just like, what
am I mean, it's true. Whether if it's a movie or a commercial,
how did I get here? What am I doing? Is it what? I'm gonna go back inside. So, the you know, the, what was neat though is like after Star Wars, for pretty much everybody, you start getting into, at least for me, you would get into this sort of like watching for the Star Wars stars to be in anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went and saw Chevy Chase and Carrie Fisher in Under the Rainbow. Because Carrie Fisher, and I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Kenny Baker may have been in it as well. Or, you know, Time Bandits, because Kenny Baker and pretty much anyone who was a Jawa, as far as you knew.
They put out the call for all Jawas, all, well, I guess just the Jawas were the only little people that were in Star Wars.
Yeah, at that point, we hadn't had...
Yeah, we didn't get the Ognuts until later.
The Ognuts?
What? Ognuts? Ognuts?
Ognuts were,
tomato, tomato.
Well, Ognuts was a failed, product from Planters. They just people really weren't ready for pork-flavored peanuts.
Gross. Gross.
That's why they didn't sell. They were gross. But
someone got kicked in the Ognuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hashtag kicked in the Ognuts.
That's hard to say in this.
Yeah, it is, all of a sudden.
You pulled off saying rural, which I can never say, but you couldn't say that.
I love it. There was that obvious pause there where you were trying to articulate rural.
See, you did. I guess you have to live in a rural area to be able to say it.
Once you're there, and then you spend a lot of time pronouncing rural.
Yeah.
That's what we're kind of rural out here. What?
Yeah, you did start star watching for the Star Wars guys.
Yeah,
like, so Carrie Fisher, you know.
I had no desire to see it, but at the same time, I thought it was kind of cool that here's Mark Hamill in Corvette Summer in, I think it was like 1980.
Yeah.
And I think even, was it even before that, perhaps, or around the same time in the, you had mentioned before the show about the Big Red One.
Yeah, and that made a big impact on me. I mean, at the time I was just getting into a lot of the military movies, in particular, like, The Dirty Dozen was a big one for me at that age, you know, seeing that. My dad was an Army guy, and so he was always big into the Westerns and, but especially the military movies. And so, I was introduced to the Big Red One because of him. And looking back on it now, I'm realizing it's a rated R movie. And, you know, my parents were pretty careful as to what we watched. But I think the fact that he let Vic and I watch the Big Red One at such a young age is because it wasn't rated R for the sake of just being rated R, like just because of the violence or the shock value. It was rated R because it took a real look at how things were at that time. And of course he had already seen it first, so he knew where to have our young eyes, you know, look away or, you know, at the stuff that was a little bit too heavy. But I remember that's what really cemented in my mind the immense talent that Mark Hamill just had stored up in him, because he was just so good in that movie. I mean, Lee Marvin, of course, can knock a home run out of any movie he's in. But Mark Hamill just really drove it home as just like, you know, this guy knows his stuff. And
well, cast in a film like that with a powerhouse like Lee Marvin, along with a lot of other actors, you know, who weren't, you know, who were by no means freshman actors themselves.
Yeah,
it was a strong testament to the director and the producers or whoever having some kind of faith in his abilities.
Yeah,
as an actor to, you know, to land a job with people with those kind of chops.
Yeah, and I remember seeing the movie, and I was, and at that age, I remember watching it and being very anxious because I never wanted. I was worried that Mark Hamill's character was going to die in the movie, and just it sounds silly, but I didn't want his character to die because I, on a personal level, felt such a connection to Mark Hamill. And to Luke Skywalker, and by the time I'm in this movie, I'm invested in his character in this movie too. So I was really thinking, oh, I hope they don't kill him, you know, as if it's going to put an end to his Star Wars career or something. But you know, just at that age,
it was really the Wampa scene must have really been trying for you.
It was pretty traumatic. Yeah, it was pretty traumatic. But yeah, and
it was odd that they had a Wampa in the Big Red One. I just
that's
weird.
The correct,
I didn't realize that apparently Germany had Wampas.
Yeah, That was in the director's cut. That came
later.
You know, Lucas got the rights to the Big Red One. He tinkered.
That's actually the cut that I'm working on right now.
Nice.
It'll feature a Wampa.
I'm gonna, you know, now that I think about it, I'm gonna make myself a custom figure of Private Griff, Mark Hamill's character from Big Red One. I'm gonna take a Luke head and a G.I. Joe body and see what
I can come up with. It's so simple. You know?
Yeah, it
halfway
is.
Halfway there already.
And then have a Wampa attack him. But yeah,
a Wampa with a Nazi armband.
Oh, genius!
People are like, what's that? It was like, it's a Wampa scene from the Big Red One. What?
That is genius.
Watch the rentals of the Big Red One spike all of a sudden as people go looking for.
Prepared before the big custom figure competition at this summer's DFW GI Joe show.
Oh, nice!
And,
yeah,
and I'll enter that in to see if it gets anything. But yeah, Big Red One came out the same year as Empire, and I'm pretty sure it probably came after the fact. You know,
I think they were like, if not like, not really practically back to back, but certainly. Fairly close.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where, you know, a certain actor is in a couple of movies that are released practically on top of each other, and you get that knee-jerk reaction like, boy, they were busy, and then you suddenly realize those films could have been shot a year and a half apart.
Yeah.
Once you start thinking about it, you're like, oh, yeah, that probably wasn't. So they just wrapped on both of them yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, Corvette Summer, that was another one I knew he was in that because you saw the ads on TV and in the newspaper, and I remember wanting to see that too because, again, Mark Hamill was in it. But you know, that was one where I had to wait and see way later because my parents said, oh no, that's too grown up for you. And
yeah.
Doing the research now, I realized Corvette Summer was PG, whereas Big Red One was rated R, and I'm thinking, what the heck? But then I started thinking it's probably because they read about the movie and realized it had to do with the hooker. You know, Annie Potts was a hooker in the movie, and they probably thought, oh yeah, he shouldn't be watching that.
Okay, yeah.
And then of course,
I wouldn't have known she was a hooker because, like, in the it looked like she was a scuba diver or something in the.
What?
Yeah, if you look at the poster, he's like hoisting her up. She's wearing a wetsuit and she's got like 1 foot in a. Swim fin in their hand. She's holding her hand.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure she was a hooker in that.
Maybe she was a fisherman, and that's where you got the hook.
Oh, maybe she had a hook hand.
Oh, could have. That's terrible when your girlfriend gets hook hand.
But yeah, it's now that I'm thinking about it, it was odd that it was a PG movie because I remember seeing it later, and there's actually a scene where Annie Potts shows her boobies, like very, very briefly, but they're there.
Boobies, wow.
Yeah, and so, but. I guess that's back in the day where you could get away with that in a PG movie, you know.
Yeah, well, oh yeah. I mean, back then, because that was PG-13 and NC-17, and things, concepts like that were still well off into the future. And
yeah, PG-13 didn't come around until Temple of Doom. Because of Temple of Doom, I guess.
Yeah, there were no boobies to be seen there.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. But apparently the PG rating was actually created because of Annie Potts' boobs. I'm sorry, boobies. She had a pair of.
I guess we should. It would be.
She had a pair of large seabirds from the Galapagos Islands.
What?
Boobies.
Oh! Was that okay, yeah. Thank you, Wild America or Wild. Wild Kingdom,
right.
I guess.
It's like Marlon Perkins suddenly invaded the show. Well, Annie Potts is attending to her boobies as Jim approaches some marine iguanas on the shoreline. That suddenly got really weird.
I guess the quick flash of Annie Potts' nips isn't as bad as, you know, Logan's Run had full frontal nudity. They're like,
yeah, they were PG.
Yeah, they were PG, and they were like not.
Let me tell you, Jenny Agutter back in the day. Arr.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Today I guess in Avengers she was still looking pretty hot, but.
Yeah, she's kept herself in good shape
for a G MILF. But. What did I?
Oh my gosh! I was taking a sip of my tea when you did that. And apparently it was so funny he's making you hack up all the congestion.
Yes.
Oh goodness. So I guess we should stop talking about Annie Potts' Puffies and get back to the
Puffy.
Topic.
All of a sudden, I want to see Corvette Summer. Jeez, or at least fast forward through it.
Yeah, beware with the pause button. It's quick. It's quick.
Oh, dang it.
But anyway.
Kind of like an old like Burt Reynolds movies, like Hooper, you know, if you blink, you miss it. So, but yeah, back then, everybody, you know, Han Solo, Harrison Ford was in Force 5 from Navarone.
Force 10, which is also an excellent movie, if
Force,
we're talking
Force
about.
Force 5 from Navarone was the prequel.
Yeah, for which, oddly enough, came years later by Lucas.
That's right. Again, bought the rights.
Mm-hmm.
Got Annie Potts involved.
Another PG movie where you see boobies.
There was like, Catherine Bach taking a bath or something?
Yeah, it was a Fraulein in the tub. Or Fraulein, a bathing Fraulein, I suppose.
Either way, it works, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag bathing Fraulein.
I think that was one of those, the same guy that did the portrait of Red Skull in Captain America, that was one of his works that was...
Oh, the bathing Fraulein's at noon or something.
At noon, wow.
You know those Monet paintings?
Yeah, yeah.
You have like the weird...
You have to have a time stamp on them, as it were.
And a lot of people don't know Monet, one of his less popular pieces, I should say, was Tuscan Raiders at the Well. Yeah, that was another one that just didn't really make the museum.
Yeah, I don't think the joke really made it either. So,
thanks a lot. But anyway, where were we at before all that?
We were star watching, as it were. And
oh, that's right. Yeah.
So yeah, you did sort of like really watch for Mark Hamill.
You know,
some career appearances here and there.
This Star Watch incident came much, much later after the trilogy ran its run and all that. But I remember going to the movies to see Time Runner specifically because Mark Hamill was in it. This is how big of a fan I've always been of the guy. I remember seeing in the newspaper the ad, you know, had the poster reproduction and had Mark Hamill's ginormous head with the big words. Mark Hamill, Time Runner, you know, and at the bottom of the thing, at the ad, there's like a blonde girl and a guy. Well, I go see the movie, and I'm watching, you know, you see the blonde, you see the other guy, and they take up the whole movie. Mark Hamill's in it for like 5 minutes. And I was like, what a disappointment. You know, it's like, it's like, you know, when the VHS market started marketing all these obscure movies you never heard of, and on the front cover was like, you know, Jackie Chan or Chuck Norris.
Exactly. It's like, you know, was it Little Shop of Horrors? You know, Jack Nicholson's first film. These are for like 2 minutes.
Is he even in it for 2 minutes? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, it's very brief, but it's a very memorable and a good scene and very Jack Nicholson, but still, it's just like, you know... You don't get to do that.
It's not like
you're going to, but you don't get to do that.
Like there was one VHS that had Chuck Norris larger than life on the thing, and then my friend bought it, and he said he watched it, and he said all it is like Chuck Norris is, I think there's like a bar fight, and Chuck Norris is one of the guys who gets thrown across the room, and then that's it.
Wow. There you go.
Something horrible like that.
Yeah, like, you know, some movie, some guy was an extra in. They do us a favor.
That would be like them marketing now hiring and having you as the main
image. Exactly, yeah. If like God forbid my star ever rose, then you would be like Cole Houston's in this film somewhere. Honest.
Exactly.
So I guess, you know, in the future, if Mark Hamill had ever done, or maybe if they release a season of Scooby Doo, like Mark Hamill and Scooby Doo.
I'm surprised they didn't market that Muppets, the whatever season of the Muppet Show had the Star Wars episode. I'm surprised that wasn't larger than life on the advertising for that season.
Oh, that's true.
Because I hadn't bought any of those, but I would buy the season that had the Star Wars episode.
Yeah, they should really just push the hell out of that. You know? But, you know, the kind of speaking of Scooby-Doo, where Mark Hamill really made a big impact is in the voice work.
Oh yeah,
you know, it became a big deal.
He's like a king in the voice acting business, and you don't realize as much until you start researching a bit more.
Yeah, well, yeah. Once we started looking, we're like, good Lord! I mean, I knew he did the Joker.
But, yeah, that was pretty good. That was really good, actually. You've been practicing that. But yeah,
so tell me, Eddie, do you like the Star Wars?
Oh, that's a sound bite right there. I like that. And he's so good at it. I mean, his voice is, he changes from one thing to another, and it's like flawless. I mean, I have a Wolverine X-Men game where he is Wolverine, and I've played that game to death. And I've had it for years, and I never realized he was the voice of Wolverine until we started researching for this episode. I'm like, what?
That's Mark Hamill?
I popped it in just to see.
I'm the best series at what I do, Bob!
It was nothing like that, actually, but that would have made it an even more awesome game if he had.
Far more interesting.
Snick, Bob! And of course, it's one of those things where you don't recognize them as...
I don't think I've ever thought of articulating the onomatopoetic word snicked.
Oh, then you... Nazi mall rats.
But in a whiny way. I mean,
in a whiny way.
Yeah, I mean, I articulating it, everybody does. Snickety snicked. He's imitating Wolverine's berserker rage with his adamantium claws.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But it's one of those things where you don't pick up that it's Mark Hamill, and then once you find out it's Mark Hamill, you go back and listen to it, and you're like, oh, I can see that now.
Yeah.
But at the time, you're like, oh my gosh. And that speaks to how well, how good. Yeah, he speaks. That speaks to how well he speaks. Nice. But, and again, there's one thing in the, of course, he's the Joker, and in the Batman Beyond movie, Return of the Joker, obviously, the storyline goes from the Batman Beyond future, and it flashbacks to the Batman animated era, and it goes back and forth. And of course, he's the Joker in the flashbacks. And the story goes, without, you know, spoiling it, I'll try my best, but he's the, of course, the thing's been out for 20 years.
There's that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course, the Joker returns in the Batman Beyond time. Not old, but young. And so the whole mystery is, who is the Joker? Is he really the true Joker? Is it a copycat?
And so just some Joker pretending to be the Joker.
Oh, nice. So they were really slick in that. One of the senator characters in the future, Jordan Price, or congressman or something, you know, he's obviously not legit. And so you're listening to it and you're realizing, oh, I think that's Mark Hamill's voice. So it was pretty cool that they used Mark Hamill as the Joker and as Jordan Price, because it put in your mind that maybe he's a copycat Joker, you know, because Mark Hamill is voicing both. But I'll leave it at that for people who haven't seen it. But it's they do little clever things like that with Mark Hamill. And again, he's so good at it that here he is voicing two characters in the same cartoon. And it takes you just a while to realize that you're listening to the same guy, you know, doing this character and this character, because he's so good at going from the Joker to a sniveling, you know, crooked congressman.
Ah, nice.
And he's very good. He's very good. And so.
And then it was also cool when, like, the Flash TV series, not the one that's on now, though. Obviously, Mark Hamill did make an appearance recently on that.
Yeah.
But the first time he was the trickster.
Yeah.
You had, you know, by the time that series finally pulled its head out of its ass and started, you know, doing something other than Flash versus the, you know, regular criminal that could have been any...
the criminal of the week.
Any cop show or whatever. Once you start to get something other... Then, you know, they started to allow for things like villains that are actually in the comics. And certainly, Mark Hamill seemed an odd choice for that until the episode aired.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, okay, you know, he's got that capacity to be incredibly flamboyant and over the top.
Yeah.
And brought a lot to that role that was a lot of fun.
And you didn't think he would, you didn't think that was going to be, that was an odd choice, like you said, because he hadn't yet done the Joker. You know, that the Trickster came before the Joker.
Yeah, and in many ways, the, you know, the Trickster kind of informs that performance. If you look at, you know, the characterization.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then definitely.
It becomes very much like, you know, some shades of what becomes the Joker are certainly there.
50 Shades of Joker.
Oh. 50 Shades of Purple.
Can we speak a little bit about the Joker? About, I mean, I know we
We should
kind of sort of. I mean, granted, the Joker would have probably been, you know, great had they stuck with Rocky Horror Picture Show guy. I'm drawing blank.
Oh,
it
was Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, yeah, you know, because they originally he gave it a go.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, until the producers listened to what he had recorded, and they said this is going to be too creepy for the kids, so they went with Mark Hamill. He was actually the second choice, or not second choice, but they thought, let's rethink this.
Yeah.
And they went to Mark Hamill. But I'll tell you what, Mark Hamill was in and this talks about, this speaks to how confident he is as an actor. This was the anime series was obviously riding high off of the Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton movie. Even though they were specifically trying to make it its own thing and not connected, he could have easily have channeled Jack Nicholson's Joker to do his Joker, but instead he went completely fresh with his own interpretation of the character.
Put in a little bit of Cesar Romero. But yeah,
exactly.
he created a whole new Joker.
Exactly. I mean, it's good to have a little Cesar Romero on your salad, but that's about it. You don't want too much.
No, you really don't. Or a Cesar Romero salad for that matter.
But he went with a completely different Joker, and in my opinion, has given us the best Joker. I mean, I love Jack Nicholson's Joker. I love Cesar Romero's Joker. Don't get me wrong. And Heath Ledger's Joker just blew me away. It just absolutely blew me away. And I will always love the Ledger Joker. But for my money, I cannot think of a better Joker than Mark Hamill's Joker. When I read Batman comics now, I'm hearing the Joker's voice, Mark Hamill's Joker, as I'm reading the dialogue. And that, to me, he has cemented the Joker character in that way, because he brought such a unique, fresh, you know, twist to the Joker, something that hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
As each of those actors have done.
That's so true. And, you know, the fact that they, one of the things that's a testament to his acting is that he's not trying to channel anybody else.
Yeah.
That he made that his own and found some version of the Joker that works and works very well.
And I'm sure he does that with any role he takes. I mean, just because he's done a movie that no one's ever heard of, that wasn't a blockbuster, that went straight to DVD, he still brings his A game. He had a part in The Guyver. And
yeah, I remember that being like a big deal. Mark Hamill's in The Guyver, or
It was another one that was like, you know,
Wing
I wasn't
Commander.
Yeah, exactly. I never caught Wing Commander, but I did watch The Guyver. And again, the character he plays is a more gruff kind of. I can't remember if he's a police detective or a private detective or what, but it was just like that typical gruff kind of downtrodden character, like someone you would see in Sin City.
Yeah.
And again, you're not thinking Mark Hamill as you're watching this character. He makes you very invested in that character. Convinces you that this is Max Reed, I think his name was in The Guyver, Max Reed, and not Mark Hamill playing a character. And he does that every time, whether it's voice acting or, you know, on screen.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why it's always just fun to see what he's, you know, little ways he's reinvented himself. You know, certainly about the time I'm thinking he's just sort of a gone into voice acting. It turns out he's actually doing all kinds of stuff these days. And then, of course, because this is a show about the Star Wars, mm-hmm. You've got the Star Wars coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
We're about to see some stuff get serious again.
Mm-hmm. With Force Awakens.
Yeah, with the Force Awakens.
Even before that, he gave us a little bit of a Star Wars teaser. He was Darth Bane in the Clone Wars series.
Oh, I did see that's.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten to that particular episode. I think it's actually the series finale where he actually comes out. But yeah,
I'm sure followers of the show know that I was put off at Sky Guy, so I never.
We're gonna sit you down one day because there's so much that I'm starting now that I'm getting back into Clone Wars that I'm starting to discover, and I'm thinking, see if Cole gives us a chance. They are pretty much, as the series progresses, I will say this: they are doing Jedi justifications left and right in the Clone Wars.
Oh, okay.
The Clone Wars is basically an apology letter to the fans on the things that came up short in the prequels.
Okay. It's sort of a do-over.
And I'm not going to get into this because this could be its own episode in itself.
Uh-huh.
They even justify midichlorians. But anyway, I'll leave it at that.
I vomited a little in my throat because I've justified midichlorians, and that was a very difficult process. I had to go to a very dark place to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, I can't wait to see what he gives us in Force Awakens.
Well, what's amazing is, you know, up to this point, pretty much all you're given is the odd photograph of the stars, especially your returning veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And what's kind of cool is in that you're getting this imagery of Mark Hamill and you're like, dang, he is really invoking just in the look Alec Guinness.
Oh yeah.
You just get this feel like, you know, he's now the master, and and you get that same sort of presence just from that imagery.
Well, they say he's the same age Alec Guinness was in New Hope.
Yeah. So, and it's just kind of amazing how much, you know, it's definitely him, yet there's just this amazing difference, this sort of venerable air about him.
Yeah.
And it could be just, you know, when you drop a big shaggy beard like that and, you know, nearly 40 years have passed, you can kind of you get that a little bit too.
That's what I'm most excited about. Of course I'm excited, beyond excited, for a new Star Wars movie. Of course I'm excited to see Han Solo and Princess Leia again, but to me, I am so ready to see where they take Luke Skywalker in this new movie, because, and I know obviously they've done away with the expanded universe, and nor would I want them to even hint at what they've done in the expanded universe in the new movie, because I want it all to be fresh and new. But going back to New Jedi Order, I'm a big fan of that series. There's one book in particular, it has my absolute most favorite scene, I guess, part of that whole novel series, where Luke Skywalker is literally, it's like the Kobayashi Maru, it's the unwinnable situation.
Oh.
And Luke Skywalker, up until that point in the book series, you know, it's obvious he has grown so much in the Force since Return of the Jedi. He's mastered the Force. He's in control of it. He's such a powerful Jedi at this point. But then you get him in this situation on a distant planet surrounded by a horde of the enemy. And he's there to rescue some people. And it literally is like he's facing odds that no one, not even the most powerful Jedi, can overcome. And Luke Skywalker takes it to a level to where he utilizes the Force in such a way that he's able to defeat the enemy and pull himself out of this situation, this impossible situation. And I don't do it justice. You can't do it justice because it's like the
well,
the
I mean, there's a certain degree of enthusiasm there that's unmistakable, though.
Yeah, and it's just the way they portrayed the character of Luke Skywalker as quite literally such a badass.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking to myself, if we can just get this Luke Skywalker, this character in Force Awakens, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
they could get everything else wrong, but if they get that right, I'll be happy.
Well, I think there's a tremendous potential for the character to really have a massive development, for us to get to really see Luke just pull out all the stops, and that's going to be exciting too.
Yeah.
Because you know, if anything, a Han probably just becoming more responsible.
Yeah.
Leia probably becoming more matronly.
I want to see Leia grow in the Force too, though.
That's true, though. She does have some potential to have done something with that now that she's she's got that option.
Yeah. I mean, because in I guess like in a spiritual sense, Han and Chewie and the other characters don't. And Lando, I guess Lando's coming back later. They don't have that capability to even be connected to the Force in that way, but Luke and Leia, I want to see something, a spiritual awakening in the both of them that we never expected with the Force.
Yeah, especially since it's awakening itself. Apparently, the Force has been napping.
Yeah. I didn't even make that connection between the title and what I said. Gosh. But yeah, I mean, Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, as the actor, when we're talking about Star Wars, I mean, I love his growth. I love how he grows as an actor and how he is able to grow the character of Luke Skywalker from episodes 4, 5, and 6, because he is that whiny character in New Hope. And then in Empire, he's that wanting to grow. He's wanting to further develop he's getting confidence, but he doesn't know exactly where these newly found powers are taking him, but by Jedi, his demeanor is completely different. He's confident. He's stoic. You know, he's got that air of just, you know, I have control over this. Don't worry. You know, it's all going to work out.
To finally get to see Mark Hamill, and indeed, you know, Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford, but especially, you know, to get Mark Hamill reprising a role that went from, you know, that over the course of 3 films, you go from the character develops from the whiny kid trapped on Tatooine. He's never going to get what he wants. Blah, 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 to, you know, really beginning to come of his own.
Yeah.
To develop strongly and get this presence of mind and presence in general. Where do we go from here? It'll be very interesting to see. All these years later, here you have this guy who, you know, you have this character we haven't seen in decades.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
An actor who has not portrayed this character in so long.
Mm-hmm.
To go back and pick that character up again after all these years.
Yeah.
The possibilities are pretty endless, quite frankly. Because there's just so many places they could take it. And I think the one thing that we can count on, regardless, and this is, you know, goes beyond just Mark Hamill and Luke, no matter what they bring to the table, what J.J. Abrams brings to the table, no matter what we get with Episode 7,
yeah,
there will be instant hatred across the board from Star Wars fans, because that's apparently what we have to do since Episode 1. But also, you know, I think part of it is, you know, everybody looks at Episode 1 through 3 as, you know, oh, everybody's just hating on it. But, you know, we were hating on aspects of not so much Empire, but certainly Jedi. But we didn't have a way to bring that to absolutely everyone in the entire Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Back then. So it just seems a lot worse when we're hating on Jar Jar. And, of course, you know, Jar Jar gives us more to hate on. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to seem like everybody hates it. But at the end of the day, it's like, shut up. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. And all of our returning characters are going to bring so much to this. The new characters are going to bring so much to this.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Hamill, it'll be really fun to see him pick up this character again after all these years.
There's one thing I'm confident in. You know, we don't know what to expect with the story, the direction, the tone of the movie. But there's one thing I am confident in is that Mark Hamill
Lens
is
going to
bring...
Lens
flares? I hope not. Mark Hamill's going to bring his A game.
Yeah.
And he's going to give us a performance, a spot on. He's going to nail that performance of Luke Skywalker because I have that much confidence in him as an actor.
Yeah.
The character, I mean, just look at the character of Luke Skywalker just alone. I mean, you can see that the changes in that Mark Hamill did with Luke from episodes 4, 5, and 6. But let's just take episode 5 alone. Look at how the character took a leap from the beginning of Empire on Hoth to when he gets to the cave, and then from the cave to Cloud City. Mm. I mean, the character changes.
Yeah.
In the cave when he does that. And you see a slight change in Mark Hamill's, at least me. I see a
no,
slight
I think
change
you,
in his performance.
You get to see his range, really, is what the character allows his a tremendous amount of range to be to bear.
I can see Mark Hamill treating the character differently as an actor from the first half of Empire to the second half.
Yeah.
And it's very subtle, but I've always been able to see it. And again, much appreciation to Mark Hamill for caring about the character that much that he was able to do that.
Absolutely. So we're going to have a lot to look forward to come. It's getting closer all the time, which is going to be nice. It seemed forever away when Disney bought the Star Wars and bought the Lucasfilm. So with that, we're going to probably have to draw the show to a close.
That sounds good to the me.
Yeah. So it's getting late, and this will be dropping a little later than normal, but we're going to be having things are getting back in proper order for the JCU, and we're getting everything all caught up. Few more little glitches aside, and we'll be up and running at full speed ahead. I want to thank, of course, Eddie for not only... There was a process that went into getting to this episode, and it's because Eddie and I will, like, shoot stuff back and forth, and somehow, I don't remember exactly where we started. I think it was something about, you know, what Star Wars actors collect.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow we wound up realizing, you know, we haven't really done... We've done only one actor profile so far.
That's right. I think I started talking about how Mark Hamill's a big comic book collector,
yeah.
And then that led into, why don't we talk about Mark Hamill?
Yeah, let's just talk about Mark Hamill. He's very topical right now.
We talked about Anthony Daniels on the live show for his birthday in depth, and we kind of talked about Carrie Fisher when we did the girl episode, but she deserves her own dedicated episode. Yeah.
So that, you know, there's this odd process because of the way we think, and we're constantly talking about Star Wars, and there's more than, you know, a really great rapport here, and that's just something I wanted to acknowledge in this case, because it was a phenomenal journey to wind up here
at this actual episode.
Yeah, this episode,
this recording.
So thank you for that. That was pretty remarkable to see that sort of emerge out of a disparate elements.
We grew just as much as the character of Luke Skywalker
grew.
That's
true. We started out whiny, and I don't know what we're going to talk about. And by the end of it, it's like, I'm going to talk about like Skywalker, like my father before me.
Actually,
and I do want to say, for the record, my dad never talked about Luke Skywalker that much, or Mark Hamill, for that matter.
Actually, we kind of ended up still whiny for some reason.
Yeah, that's just because we're tired.
Yeah.
But because we stayed up way too late talking about Mark Hamill. So this is, of course, coming to you through the auspices of the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUmail@yahoo.com, especially if Eddie got the wrong movie with Mark Hamill with his
Time guy.
You can look for the occasional tweet on. You can follow us on Twitter at the at the Jedi Cole U. And we are I'm hollowing out some space as we speak to create the Jedi Cole Universe video cave, where Andrew and I will and others will begin producing some video content for our YouTube channel, the Jedi Cole Universe.
Nice.
Which will probably have the odd video selfie coming up with Free Comic Book Day. You can look for me and Andy at A Galaxy Called Dallas in Garland. You can look for Andy later that same day in Hearst at Collected. And you can look for Eddie at Collected in Plano. Is that correct?
That's correct. On Free Comic Day, I'll be at Collected in Plano.
Likely make my way to Hearst, but we got double booked. And then, Eddie, you'll be...
I'll be April 18th and 19th. I'll be at the North Texas Comic Book Show, so you can come see me there. And of course, right after that, May 2nd, is it? Free Comic Book Day? Well, Free Comic Book Day,
Free Comic Book Day is May 2nd, so you'll
and
find
then,
all the aforementioned things are on May 2nd.
May 29th through the 31st, I'll be at the Fan Expo Dallas, also known as Dallas Comic Con. And June 13th, I'll be at the Texas Comic Fest, along with the JCU.
The JCU will actually have a booth, and apparently on the opposite side of the dealer hall will be Eddie's booth.
Yeah, I'll be over there in Artist Alley while Cole will be across the way in the manning the JCU booth. So make sure you do both stops.
Yeah, do drop by. We're going to be having some fundraiser, selling some stuff for fundraisers. We'll also be doing a fundraising raffle. Got some great raffle prizes and info.
Just come and chit chat. I get a lot of people.
Yeah, you don't even really have to spend money. We just love talking to everybody who's been following us.
It's amazing that people who've commented to me on Instagram and Facebook who, like, we've never met face to face, and they always say, like, we got to get to one of y'all's conventions because we want to just, you know, have a geek out with you guys. And yeah, come on down to one of the shows.
Yeah,
come out.
We do love to geek out. Let me tell you right now.
So especially, I know a lot of people who've commented to me on Instagram. A lot of y'all are here in North Texas, maybe not specifically in Dallas. Try to make your way to one of the shows that we're at and come meet us, talk to us, and you'll realize that we know less about geekdom than you do, so we're not that special.
Well, we're always learning, though, so we want to pick up what you know and make it our own. And if you're also keen on anything, any conventions in or around Texas, or I guess in Texas in this case, Convention Awareness Project Texas is my little sidebar project for the last 3 years. Every convention in the entire state all year long, I diligently research. In fact, just the last week, 3 more conventions were added to the 2015 list, giving us over 100 conventions, easily 110 conventions throughout the course of this year so far.
Oh, good night.
And through the end of the year, yeah. So keep it 100, Texas, and go to CAPTX.info, and you can see the Convention Awareness Project Texas and find out what kind of conventions are going on, because you can't go if you don't know.
There you go.
And myself and Andrew Farmer from Hey Kids Comics and Eddie and I, you can find us doing our live shows at deepelemonair.com. And occasionally Andy and I and sometimes any number of other JCU personalities may crop up over at the United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com. And with that, I'm all out of places to plug and people to talk about. So, and I just found a piece, an unopened pack of Empire Strikes Back trading cards, and I'm going to take this gum out and eat it.
Oh, well, let me go ahead and get the EMTs to come pump your stomach.
Exactly. So, with that, we will be back in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense, and I will be back in a week over at Deep Elm on Air for the Rancor Pit live. Eddie will, of course, be at the convention, where I'll be showing up later in the day, probably, or the day before, who knows. So we will be speaking to you again soon from a galaxy far, far away.
Take care, guys.